Welcome. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements, Meetings and Access to Information England Regulation 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So, welcome to our Cabinet meeting this 16th day of January 2020, our first of the new decade. And this evening we have apologies under item one from Councillor Boker, but otherwise everyone else is present. So item two, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Are there any disclosures that anyone wishes to make? Can't see anyone putting any hands up, so in which case there are none, and therefore we're on to item three, which is leaders' announcements. I don't have any announcements for this evening, but I will be making some on Monday evening at full council. Item four, minutes of the previous meeting. That's the meeting on the 16th of December 2019. First off, can I ask for points of clarification? Is everyone happy with the content and the accuracy of the meetings? Good. Are those in favour of proposing to accept? All those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. No questions have been submitted. So we're now on to item six, our first item of the evening, which is the internal audit plan and recommendation of the Audit Committee. So first off, can I invite Mr. Angel, who's our independent chair of the Audit Committee, to the table to present the Audit Committee's recommendations. We had a bit of good news, I think, this morning, which is that I understand that the candidate for the internal auditor has actually accepted a position, so we'll be starting on the 1st of April, which is extraordinarily good timing and good news. We have obviously your paper, which has been prepared. I'll ask you if there are any points that you wish to add in addition to the paper that's been put forward and the comments that have been put forward. And then what we're going to do is ask any points of clarification to you about your points, and then there'll be a bit of discussion and then a recommendation, if that's okay. Okay, if you want to press your button, and then you can start speaking.
Right. Thank you, Councillor Morgan. Audit Committee, back in November, was reviewing the performance against the audit plan. And at that stage, only 3% of the plan that we'd approved back in February had been delivered. We'll be looking to approve the next plan at the March meeting of the committee. There have been some concerns during the year over the level of staff in post to deliver the plan, and there have been difficulties in staffing issues over that time. Following on from that, there have been delays in appointing the senior auditor post through the shared service agreement set up with North West Leicestershire and Blaby. This has now been resolved, and as you said at the outset of the meeting, the candidate has now accepted and should be in post by the beginning of the next financial year. The report identifies on page 14 of the agenda the requirements of the Audit and Accounts Regulations 2015 that the Council must carry out an effective internal audit to evaluate the effectiveness of risk management, control and governance processes. And as part of the sign-off of the accounts and the government statement, the review of government sets out that the Council has an effective internal audit government statement, which will be signed by yourself and the Chief Executive. We felt at that meeting the Audit Committee would be failing its duty if it did not bring the concerns to Cabinet. Thank you.
Okay, there aren't any. So thank you very much, and we'll now have a quick discussion and then make a proposal. That's very kind of you. Thank you. So you've read the report. You've heard the comments. Councillor Poland, can I ask you as the relevant lead member just to make any opening remarks before we actually open any discussion?
Thank you, Leader. Yeah, I mean... this is something I know I've raised with Cabinet before now. Effectively, we had a couple of resignations. The team was only three strong anyway, and we had a couple of resignations. Adrian, correct me, earlier in this financial year, towards the start of last year. The result of that, basically, it coincided with the time we wanted to then take the opportunity instead of literally just replacing like for like to look at how we wanted to deliver share internal audit, and there was a number of options looked at. The option we agreed on in the end was a shared internal audit along with North West Leicestershire and Hinckley, I think Hinckley from memory, Blaby. So that required, but basically in order to do that, we required additional personnel. Okay, so there was a senior auditor that would have been brought on board to work within the shared services, but really to focus on Charnwood specifically. We advertised for that role, but unfortunately there wasn't a single applicant. So that meant that we were behind schedule to where we wanted to be, which was to get things off the ground by this time of year, just after Christmas. We re-advertised and we got through the process, and fortunately we found out today that we do have someone that's been appointed and has accepted and will be starting by the 1st of April this year. So that's really good news, and that will obviously be our target to get the shared service up and running. In terms of the year we've just had, clearly it is not ideal that we've got a smaller portion done than we would like. We'd obviously like the whole thing being done. I think by year end we're probably looking at somewhere in the 60% mark by the time we get there. But I think it's important to remember that while this isn't, I think it's far from ideal, we haven't chosen randomly the areas we're looking at. The areas of highest risk are the areas that we've targeted and focused on. I, all the way through this, I as lead member have been kept informed, and some chief exec has also been involved in this, and this isn't ideal, but we're satisfied that the officers have done what they can given the circumstances to deal with the situation.
Thank you very much, Councillor Purse. I'm just going to ask actually at this point Adrian Ward, who's our Head of Strategic Services, whether there's anything else that you wish to add.
Thank you, Leader. Just very briefly, the offer of appointment is subject to the usual pre-employment checks, so fingers crossed they will pan out, but it's not 100% certain as we sit here this evening. Councillor, I would echo what Councillor Poland has said. Myself and the other senior officers within the council recognise that this is a far from ideal situation. It's not something we would have wanted to do. the summary of the timescale I've set out in the report explains to you what's happened and what we've tried to do to plug the gap where we're able to. We have procured 132 days of external support. That's cost us just over £47,000, and the daily rate is more than double what we will be paying somebody on the payroll. We have also had two attempts to recruit interim agency staff, but again, we've been unsuccessful in that. One of the agencies contacted me to check that the daily rate we were offering was correct, because they said it was half what they would expect to be paying for an experienced local government internal auditor, and our external auditors have also, at the audit committee meeting in November, echoed the fact that they are having recruitment difficulties themselves in terms of getting experienced local government auditors onto their payroll. So nothing more to add. Happy to answer any questions, Leader.
Thank you very much. Councillor Barclay.
Everybody has said it is not ideal, but I mean, best efforts have been made, and it's difficult to see that we could have done anything else. But what I would say is I am reassured that 60% of the audit will be completed by the end of this year, and all high-risk areas will be covered. In fact, today, the final audit report on the payroll came through, which is one of our biggest costs, and there is substantial assurance given by the internal auditors. So it's not all bad news, and the news about the person that we've recruited and the shared service is encouraging, but there are clearly difficulties in the market as outlined, but we've not given up, and all the high-risk areas are being examined and audited.
Thank you very much. Councillor Smidovich.
Yes, just to say that I found the audit reports really helpful for my area, and I've been through them with the officers, and it's actually helped me to understand some of the processes. They've all been explained very satisfactorily, so it was a helpful exercise. Thank you.
Okay, no further comments. So can I go to Councillor Poland now, who's going to make a recommendation?
Thank you again, Leader. Can I move recommendation that the Head of Strategic Support recommends that Cabinet note the actions that have been taken to address the resourcing issues with the internal audit team, and that the proposed shared internal audit service is designed, I think it says resigned, but I'm pretty sure it's meant to say designed, to address the ongoing issues that have been experienced over the last 18 months to 2 years, and that they also determine whether there are any other steps they wish officers to take to address the concerns of the audit committee. And the reason for that is to acknowledge the actions that have been taken in response to the ongoing resourcing issues for internal audit, and to determine if Cabinet wish officers to take any further steps.
Thank you very much, Councillor Pellin. Councillor Harper-Davies, can I ask you to second?
Yes, thank you, Leader. I'd like to second that, please.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. And Mr. Angel, can I ask you again, and pass on my thanks to you for coming this evening, but also to your committee for discussing and taking this to us. Thank you very much. Thank you. Unless you wish to sit through the rest of the meeting, but you are very welcome otherwise, either way. But I can quite understand if you have other things to do. Okay, well, thank you very much. So we are now going to move on to item 7, which is the private sector licensing scheme. We also have a scrutiny commission report on this item. So if I can ask Councillor Rattray to the table to present the scrutiny commission report. And once you have done so, we're going to ask you any points of clarification. Over to you now.
Okay, so I'll just give you an update from Commission on private sector licensing scheme. So following discussion and questions to the two lead members and officer present, the Commission supports and welcomes the recommendations as set out in the report of the Head of Strategic and Private Sector Housing. The Commission also recognises the substantial work that had enabled the scheme to be progressed to the current stage. The Commission was satisfied that we would progress to consultation. During discussion, the Commission raised concerns over two high risks identified within the report, but was satisfied by assurances from the lead members that these risks are only relevant if the consultation process is not completed to a satisfactory level. The vast majority of issues experienced by other authorities employing similar schemes had been in relation to the consultation process. The lead members confirmed that there are currently 75 other local authorities running similar schemes to this already. Questions were raised over the level of licence fee and whether this should be the same for good landlords meeting our required standards and those that require further action. The Commission were convinced that this was satisfactory for this stage of the process and that any concerns could be raised during the consultation period and addressed at a later stage if necessary. Resourcing of the scheme was discussed and details of this should be available in the next report, which will be reviewed in July. The Commission was satisfied with the information given by the lead members and officer and support the recommendations set out in the report. If you have any other questions, I'm happy to help.
Councillor, that's very good of you. Thank you very much. Any questions or of clarity that anyone wishes to ask? It's obviously very succinct. Thank you very much. Right. I was going to say you have plenty of reports this evening, so you're going to be in and out of that chair constantly for the rest of this evening. So we're now going to move on to the main discussion. First, I'm going to invite Eileen Mallon, who's our Strategic Director of Housing, Planning and Regeneration and Regulatory Services, to the table, who will hopefully be able to assist with the report. As before, we're going to take the paper as read. It is quite a substantial paper, and I know from feedback from scrutiny that everyone on the Commission had a good read, as everyone on Cabinet has done as well. So I suspect there are probably going to be a fair number of questions that are going to come through. So to start off with, I'm going to ask, we actually have, slightly unusual, we have two lead members this particular item, which is Councillor Smidovich and also Councillor Mercer. So, Councillor Smidovich, do you want to actually open up with any yes. points you wish to expand on, and then we'll open up for general discussion.
Thank you, Leader. I have to say that both Councillor Mercer and I are absolutely delighted that this has finally come to Cabinet and that it has been supported by the Scrutiny Commission. Just as a very quick recap, we've had two scrutiny panels looking at this private rented sector and the problems, and it's quite sad that the self-regulation that was brought in 2012 has not been as successful as we would like it to be. It's very much been reliant on self-regulation, and of course the bad landlords have got away with quite a lot. So local residents have certainly challenged our database figures with hidden properties, and it has sort of skewed some of the ways forward that we would have liked to have taken and been very reliant on more accurate figures. But hidden properties are hidden properties, and we've had well over 200 certificates of lawfulness given in the last few years. Properties quite legally operating, but at the same time hadn't got their certificates. So if introduced, additional and selective licensing would provide continuous regulation relating to tenancy management issues and housing conditions, with an inspection regime to ensure housing standards are maintained and properties are suitably safe and well managed to prevent issues such as antisocial behaviour, crime, deprivation. We have now a high density and highly populated areas across the borough, and a transient population within these properties, which sadly has caused a significant loss of community cohesion, and that's felt very much by residents. Responsible landlords have contacted me, and as the Councillor Rattray has said, we do need to reward good landlords, because we have some excellent landlords, but equally we need to address with civil penalties and proceeds of crime that we retain on those that I think the expression is chance their arm and hope to get away with it approach. So we've got some way to go, but I am delighted that we've got as far as we have. Thank you. Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, I'm going to open up for general discussion. I don't know if there's anything else that Councillor Mercer wishes to ask, or whether you're actually going to conclude, and you'll probably bring any remarks into that. Okay. Anything else that anyone wishes to actually raise? Obviously, the paper sets out additional and selective as being what we're consulting on, and the selective covering two areas within Loughborough. In detail. This is very much sort of the earlier stages. It sets out how we're going to actually carry out that consultation, and obviously the quality of the consultation, as was picked out, I think, through the Scrutiny Commission report, will be key to getting a good base to any future work as we progress. So it is, I think, important stage for us as Cabinet, but also for the Council, that we're actually taking this step. So we need to make sure that we actually get it right. And the officer's report I set out explains very clearly, I think, how that's going to happen. So that's good. If there are no further questions, I'm going to ask Councillor Mercer to make a proposal with a possible sort of just slight amendment on the a little bit of the recommendation. On the wording, and then we'll take the vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Leader. I'll try and get this right. To recommend that the Cabinet note the proposals for private sector licensing, 2, note the supporting evidence and risks, 3, approving the proposal for consultation exercises required by Section 56(3) of the Housing Act 2004, additional licensing, and Section 89 of the Housing Act 2004 for selective licensing, to approve a one-off budget of up to £30,000 to be funded from the reinvestment reserve in 2019-20 to undertake the consultation exercise, and for the reasons 1 and 2 to enable the Cabinet to consider the information and evidence gathered, 3 and 4 to use the reinvestment reserve to fund the statutory consultation to support the implementation of an additional and selective licensing scheme in consultation with the respective lead members, full stop.
Checking with Laura and also with Adrian that you're happy with that as a slight amendment. Okay. Eileen, understand? Yep, that's fine. Okay. So everyone's clear on that. They understand what they're voting for. So can I see a seconder, probably in the form of Councillor Smidovich, I suspect?
I'm absolutely delighted to second this.
Okay. And in which case, can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Eileen, you've never been so talkative. If only every session was like this, you're thinking. That's very kind of you. Thank you. Okay, we're now on to item 8, which is our Charnwood Grant Strategic Partners 2020... Sorry, I'm still trying to get my head around saying 2020. We've used the expression forever, and now when it's finally actually the year, I can't quite get my head around actually using it as a date. 2020 to 2021 and 2021 to 2022... we have a scrutiny commission report, so if I can invite Councillor Rattray again back to our table for a second or fourth, and ask you if you could make a presentation of the discussion that took place at the scrutiny commission, and then afterwards we'll ask you any points of clarification, and then we'll see how we go from there. Thank you.
Okay, so hello again. So feedback from Charnwood Grant Strategic Partners 2020 to 2021, 2021 to 22. Following discussions and questions to the lead member and lead officer, the Commission supports the recommendations as set out in the report of the Head of Neighbourhood Services. The Commission was satisfied that we should proceed with the proposed strategic partners to the values indicated in the report. During discussion and questions to the lead member and officer, the Commission sought assurances that there were no reductions to the values agreed for the previous year, 2019 to 20. The Commission questioned if we as a local authority actively approach local charities to be strategic partners or whether we relied on groups knowing to ask for help. The lead officer assured the Commission that the team actively investigates new potential partners and works with local groups, signposting them to the relevant schemes for each group. It was noted that the strategic partner scheme is not always suitable for all groups and that they can sometimes be helped with more funding in other ways. The Commission were informed that the strategic partners are encouraged to work towards self-sufficiency and the Council provides support to achieve this. The Commission was satisfied with the information given by the lead member and lead officer and support the recommendations set out in the report.
Thank you very much. Now, do we have any points of clarification or any further questions that anyone wishes to ask? Councillor, thank you very much. Again, a very good report, so thank you. Thank you very much for that. Okay, at this point I'm going to invite Verity Graham, who's our Neighbourhoods and Partnerships Manager, to the table to assist with any questions that come out of the report. Again, taking the report as read, it's a good detailed report, well worth reading, particularly actually one of the last tables which sets out the delivery against the corporate objectives, which again is really how the strategic partners are set apart from our normal grant scheme. These are very much organisations that actually work alongside us rather than necessarily are supported by us for individual projects. So this is about long-term relationship. So, Councillor Taylor, if I can ask you to lead the discussion, and then if there are any questions, then hopefully either your Verity can answer.
Thank you, Leader. Just a couple of points to highlight. All the strategic partners are the same as they were last year, with the exception of Charnwood 2020, who declined to put in a bid, seeing as they don't really deliver in the borough anymore, so they've not put themselves forward as a strategic partner. And the same for the Rosebery Community Centre. Looking at their business plan, they also decided not to reapply as a strategic partner going forward. And I just want to reiterate what was said at the scrutiny commission that none of the grants have gone any seen any reduction to what they had for last year, and they will stay the same for the next 2 years.
That last point I think is an extraordinarily good one, because over so many years so many organisations have seen grants cut back, but that's quite an important statement. Are there any points or questions that anyone wishes to raise? There aren't. In which case, I'm going to ask Councillor Taylor to make a proposition.
Thank you, Leader. I'd like to recommend that the following strategic partner grants be approved subject to budget approval, shown on page 122. I won't read them all out. That the Head of Neighbourhood Services to be given delegated authority to finalise the terms and condition of the strategic partner grants awarded and service levels agreements, and agree a final grant award amount with the Citizens Advice Bureau in consultant with the lead member. Three, that the strategic partner grant be awarded in principle to Syston Volunteer Centre, subject to them out continuing to work with the council and receipt of evidence demonstrating that have revisited their visit plan and are moving towards further community engagement and volunteering activities by the end of March 2021. So that's the end of year one. And that the Head of Neighbourhood Services be given delegated authority in consultant with the lead member to determine the most appropriate way forward. For reason one, to provide appropriate levels of financial support to these organisations that have submitted applications and been assessed as meeting for the criteria for the Strategic Partner Grant Scheme. Two, to enable the grants award to be finalised with an approved service level agreement and appropriate information to be supplied to the Council about the outcomes of the project services and determine that final grant award amounts. And three, to ensure that the organisation is developing and progressing before any continued year two funding is awarded.
Thank you very much. Now, can I see a seconder in the form of Councillor Barclay, perhaps?
Thank you, Leader. I'm happy to second this report.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Verity, can I just say thank you very much also, because I know there's a huge amount of work that's gone into the report, and we all recognise that. It's very important for us as an organisation, but also for those organisations that we work with. So can I pass on my personal thanks to you and also to our strategic partners for working with us in the way that they do. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, we're now on to item 9, which is our corporate plan 2020 to 2024. We have a scrutiny commission report on this one. So, Councillor Rattray, would you like to come back to the table? Again, if you wish to deliver the summary of the scrutiny commission, and then we'll ask you any questions of clarity.
Okay, so overview of the Corporate Plan 2020-2024 from Scrutiny Commission. So following discussions and questions to the Chief Executive, the Commission supports the recommendations as set out in the report of the Chief Executive. During discussion and questions with the Chief Exec, it was clarified that this is a strategic document meant to summarise the Council's plan for the coming 4 years. Details of how that would be achieved will be set out in the business plan. There was a desire that all residents resonate with the corporate plan, and it was requested that the wording be reviewed and adjusted very slightly to see if it could reflect a little more about the people. There were concerns raised regarding some wards that were slightly more dissatisfied than others, and it was recognised that these areas would require a higher concentration of resources than others in the borough. Clarity was sought that high streets outside of Loughborough would be supported, as well as Loughborough Town Centre. The potential for the town deal could provide funding for the development of Loughborough, but other areas within the borough would also need investment. Communication of the corporate plan was discussed and, once approved, would be communicated to the public through social media channels, Charlwood News and the Council's website. The Commission suggested that councillors that were active on social media could also be encouraged to support the promotion of the corporate plan. The Commission was satisfied with the information received by the Chief Exec and support the recommendations set out in the report. If you've got any questions, let me know.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions that anyone, or clarity that anyone wishes to raise? Absolutely none. In that case, thank you very much, Councillor. So, at this point, if I can ask Helen Gresson, who's our Improvement Organisation Development Manager, to come to the table. And hopefully you can help us with any questions or queries that we have. Again, taking the plan as read. Can I start by sort of commenting on the corporate plan. So this obviously is, our sort of structure for the next 4 years. There'll be a detailed implementation plan that goes behind that, but this is our sort of corporate plan strategy for the 4 years of this administration. And very much comes from our party's manifesto when we stood for election, which set out what we believed were the core aims of, or what we believed would be the core aims for the council. And the document that we have in place reflects that, and as a result should be recognisable to everyone around the cabinet. This point onwards, as Councillor Rattray correctly summarised, it's important that the detail that follows reflects the core aims of the corporate strategy, and hopefully that will start to become more evident over the next few months as the detail gets published. So with that, can I ask whether anyone has any points that they wish to raise on this as a document? Absolutely none. Right, so in which case... Sorry, Councillor Smitheridge.
It's not a question, it's just a comment that, in fact, I like the idea of the social media, and I think residents would appreciate it very much. So perhaps a little bit more help on trying to get some of the more complex stuff would be quite helpful. I'll look at our media man.
I was going to say, he probably has a very good assistant that actually helps with things like that. So I think it's a good idea, though, because, I mean, in this age, I think all of us have a reach way beyond just the council's medium. And in the age of sort of reduced reach as far as hard media is concerned, actually social media in particular, the messages that we put out, the way that we actually put them out, little video clips, all sorts of things that I know we as an organisation have changed quite dramatically the way that we actually present material in the last couple of years. And for councillors in particular, if we have the option of being able to put that out ourselves, whether it's retweets, whether it's Facebook posts, etc., links, obviously we can do that. And that's for our benefit as well as the council's. So I am going to move the recommendations as shown on page 148, recommendations 1, subsections A to C, for the reasons 1, subsections A to C as shown. Can I ask for a seconder, Councillor?
Thank you, Leader. I'm happy to second this.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Helen, thank you very much for all the assistance. I have to say it's a very good read, and thank you very much. So really appreciate it. Thank you. We'll now move on to item 10, which is the Modern Slavery Statement 2019-20. So can I invite Suzanne Kinder, who's our Corporate Improvement and Policy Officer, to the table? I will pause at this moment. Welcome. And I'm going to ask Councillor Poland to initiate the debate, and then if there are any points of information on the paper, then we can ask further questions of clarity. Thank you.
Thank you again, Leader. In March 2015, the government enacted the Modern Slavery Act, which requires commercial organisations with a turnover in excess of £36 million annually to report their efforts to identify, prevent and mitigate the risk of modern slavery in their commercial operations by publishing an annual modern slavery statement. We as an organisation don't actually meet the criteria set out in the Modern Slavery Act, as we are not a commercial organisation, nor do we have an annual turnover of £36 million or more. Ours is approximately £29 million. As such, we have not produced a statement before now, as we weren't legally required to. However, given the prominence of the modern slavery, of modern slavery, should I say, and our moral responsibility as a leading local authority, it was felt we should be producing a statement as a means of following best practice, as many other councils across the country have done. Hence why it's here before you tonight, members.
Thank you very much. So, taking all the points that Councillor Poland's made, I think this is, it shows, as with a lot of what we do, we don't have to do a lot, but we actually do it because obviously it's often because it's about doing the right thing. It's also about setting a being a champion for our communities and actually explaining to them that we're on the right side. And this very much, I think, is about being on the right side of some of the things that are happening these days that are becoming more evident as people look at them and talk about them more. And this being one of those that I think is important to demonstrate that we're actually on the right side. So are there any points that anyone wishes to raise? Councillor Mercer.
Thank you, Leader. Can I ask a question? In the section expectation of suppliers, does that relate to what the suppliers are doing within Charnwood or what they're doing generally? So we do use a number of big companies. If one of them was accused of using forced labour in the Middle East or whatever, and that was upheld, would we immediately terminate our relationship with it, or would we say, sorry, we're only worried about what they do in Charnwood?
No, it is wider than just Charnwood. So whether I would say we would terminate the contract straight away, there'll be a process to follow, but we would be legally bound to report modern slavery on a wider sense. It isn't just in the local borough.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any further questions? No. So in which case, Councillor Poland, can I ask you to make a proposal?
Can I propose recommendations 1 and 2 on page 164 for reasons 1 and 2, also on page 164?
Thank you very much. Councillor Taylor, can I ask you to second?
I'm happy to second that, Leader.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Suzanne, thank you very much as well for coming this evening and answering the question. Thank you. Okay, we're now on to item 11, which is the design supplementary planning document. We do actually have our last scrutiny commission report for the evening on this item, so I can ask Councillor Rattray for the last time to come to the table. And if you could present the thoughts of the scrutiny commission report, the scrutiny commission, and then we will ask any points of clarity on the report from that point onwards.
Okay, thank you. If I take you through Scrutiny Commission for Design Supplementary Planning Document. So following discussion and questions to the lead officer, the Commission supports the recommendations as set out in the report of the Head of Planning and Regeneration. During the discussions, it was made clear that this was just an additional document to help support applicants to prepare suitable planning applications. The Council encourages innovative design, and the supplementary planning document wasn't intended to be prescriptive on what development looked like. Concerns were raised over larger developments looking a little repetitive and questioned whether this new document would help encourage more variety. It was explained that the document was aimed at smaller scale developments. Larger developments had support in different ways, and the Commission were assured that some of the poorer design developments of around 15, 20 years ago were not being repeated now. The Commission asked if the SPD could include a standard on tree planting, but that a standard was not included in the document. It does include advice on tree planting and the benefits of trees in development schemes. The Commission was satisfied that the information given and agreed that this design supplementary planning document would be a useful tool for developers and would encourage well-designed developments within Charnwood. The Commission supports the recommendations set out in the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Are there any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to ask? There aren't. In which case, Councillor, can I personal thanks to you and the rest of your team for the four reports this evening. There's probably a couple more than normal, so thank you very much for that. And but well worth it. Thank you. Thank you. So can I ask Richard Bennett, who's our Head of Planning and Regeneration, to come to the table? I'll start off by just saying a few points about the document. It's genuinely a useful document to have for, particularly for non-architects, I suspect, more than anything else, because actually a lot of our developments that happen, small-scale developments, and also for individuals, they may not be architects in their own right, or they may not necessarily actually employ architects, but actually having a design document to refer to can be incredibly useful. And if nothing else, actually it can help to generate ideas and thought processes that maybe would not necessarily be evident to them without it. So it's a good, useful document to have, and ours makes particular reference to encouraging good design, tree planting, which has been highlighted by scrutiny, but also has also been highlighted. We have, for larger scale developments, we also have design panels and design reviews as part of our planning process, which again we have used recently and I think have been beneficial, but also we have the option to actually use them on a wider scale for any schemes that come in. We also have our design awards every other year, which again highlight actually some of the extraordinarily good design that happens within our borough. My own practice many years ago actually won a design award, but I'm not going to say which one, from Charnwood Borough. And I have to say, even though we were not based in Leicestershire, it was actually a valued award. So actually, I think it does actually benefit the design thinking that goes on behind schemes and adds to the quality and the richness that we have within the borough. So at which point I'm going to ask if anyone has any further questions. I know, Councillor Taylor, you have a personal interest in this item.
Yes, I don't know if I need to declare those photos of my where I live in here. I don't think I'll declare that. I'm just going to ask how much weight this would hold an appeal.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Richard Bennett, Head of Planning and Regeneration, through you, Chair. The document provides additional guidance and advice on the policies that are in the Council's core strategy. It is, therefore, a material consideration in decision-making. We take our first reference point to the policies in that development plan and then look to other material considerations when determining applications. So the fact that the document's followed a statutory process, been subject to consultation, means that it does have weight in decision-making.
Thank you very much. Councillor Barclay.
Yeah, a comment really. It's nice to see that we are focusing on adapting to climate change, and that I've had a number of remarks from residents expressing concerns about building and how that impacts on the environment of what we're doing. And it's clearly laid out not just the tree design, but the actual way we construct and the improving energy efficiency and renewable energy. Very, very good thing, and it's going to become more and more relevant as time goes on. So really nice to see that in there.
Thank you very much. Councillor Mercer.
And just going on from that, it's one thing to say encourage more trees, but different trees behave differently in terms of sucking CO2 out of the atmosphere. Do we actually encourage certain types of trees or just any trees?
Through you, Chair. The document doesn't go down to that level of detail, but I do know that the members of the Plans Committee are very keen to ensure the right type of trees in the right setting and circumstances. And one of the things they've been particularly keen on is ensuring that we've got native trees to the British Isles in development schemes. But the details about trees are usually subject to a planning condition for submission, either before the development starts or before the submission of further details. And those landscape schemes can give us an opportunity to control the types of trees, the location, and the opportunities they are to use trees to help cool development and public realm areas and that sort of stuff. So,
any further questions? Councillor Harper-Davis.
Thank you. I can probably help with that because I know the open spaces contract, Ida Verde, they do tend to plant the right sort of trees, so I can help certainly from an open spaces perspective, whether that's reflective of the whole of the borough, but certainly from open spaces we do.
May well be it's something that possibly can be provided as part of future training for the plans team. or the plans committee to give them a guide about tree planting. If it gets raised on a repeated basis, it might be quite helpful for somebody to talk to them. Might be helpful. Interesting. Okay, any other further questions? Okay, so in which case I'm going to make recommendation as shown on page 179, which is that the design supplementary planning document set out in Appendix 1 be adopted for the reasons stated there. Before Richard goes, thank you very much, Richard, to you and your team. I know this is quite a piece of work to put together, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a good, robust document for us to use within the borough over the next few years. So thank you very much for all the work that's gone into it. Can I ask for a seconder from Councillor Harper-David?
Thank you. I'm delighted to second this too.
Thank you very much. Can I see all those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. So we'll now move on to item 12, which is the Salby Neighbourhood Plan. Richard, you've stayed with us at the table. So I will just outline the document. We obviously have had a series of neighbourhood plans come through Cabinet. This one in particular for Salby has been very thoroughly discussed by the community and received a thumping majority when it was put out for its vote recently. So we are effectively now this evening going through the final stages of sort of ratifying it for the borough, within the borough. Richard, are there any other further points that you wish to make other than those that are pretty obvious within the document?
Through you, Chair. Not really. Just it's just to explain to members that this is a part of a formal process that the Salby Parish has followed to prepare their neighbourhood plan. It is a plan that belongs to the community. It's not a plan that the Borough Council has prepared. And we're now at the last stage of the process where the council is obliged to make the neighbourhood plan, as it's called. In other words, to engross it within our development plan for Charnwood to be used for decision-making on planning applications.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or points that anyone wishes to make? Nope. In that case, can I make recommendation as shown on page 247, the Salby Neighbourhood Plan attached as an appendix to this report is made part of the statutory development plan for Charnwood in accordance with the provisions of section 38A/4 of the Planning and Compulsory Purchase Act 2004, and the reason being to fulfil the legal duty to make the Salby Neighbourhood Plan part of the development plan for Charnwood. So, Councillor Poland, can I ask you to second?
Very happy to second, Leader.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Richard, as well. So we're now on to item 13, which is the write-off report for business rate properties. Simon Jackson, who is our Strategic Director of Corporate Services, is here to assist with any comments. Otherwise, I'm going to ask Councillor Barclay to open the discussion.
So three debts here, one for $23,849, one for $33,086, and one for $20,495. Two of the companies are dissolved. One of them, it was considered, after extensive effort trying to recover this, one of them, it was considered not prudent to take insolvency proceedings because there's not likely to be any dividend. The actual cost to Charnwood Borough Council, because only $15,486 accrues to Charnwood Borough Council, the rest goes to County Council, Fire Authority, Police. We have provided for this, so the financial impact on us will it will have no significant impact on our finances. And I don't think there's anything else to say.
Thank you very much. Has anyone any points that they wish to raise? Councillor Mercer.
Can I say that I think it's good that we've started to name the directors. I think correctly, given that both of the companies are still in existence, it is the two named people are still the directors of those companies. But when the first one had problems, there were quite a few other directors who were directors at the time. Would it be possible perhaps to name, next time we do it, all of the directors at the time when it ran into problems, the point being that when they are named, they are in our reports, and anybody searching for them who may do work with them in the future will be aware of the problems that they've caused Charnwood.
Simon.
Thank you, Councillor Mercer. Any information available in the publicly available Companies House records is no reason why we can't record that on future reports.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further questions? No further questions. So, Councillor Barclay, can I ask you to make a question?
Yes, I propose that the three debts mentioned are written off. The reason the normal enforcement, recovery and tracing of these debts has been exhausted and write-off is now the only alternative. The Council's financial procedures require any debt over £20,000 to be approved by Cabinet.
Thank you very much. Councillor Rawlings, can I ask you to second?
Thank you, Leader. I second this item.
Thank you. So can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. And thank you very much to everyone, to Scrutiny Commission, Councillor Rattray, to Councillor Gerard, who's joined us this evening, and to all staff. Thank you very much, and good evening.